It's about time for the Christmas message. We would sometimes call this the sermon. If you've not been to a church service before, it's basically the part where I get to talk for a little bit, mostly about God, and hopefully it's His words that actually come through. Before we dive in and explore what He has to say in the Bible today, I'm just going to pray for us and pray for that. So please join me in prayer again. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your presence with us, and we thank You for the gift of Christmas. We pray that as the message is brought this morning, it would be Your words that come through and Your message that is received. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today I have a reading from the book of John. John is one of the four Gospels in the New Testament, the second half of the Bible. And it's the fourth of the four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, start of the New Testament. And all four of those books tell the story of Jesus. And they start with the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus. And John has a fantastic introduction, which I would like to read from John chapter 1, starting at verse 1 to 4, and then I'm going to read verse 14. But verse 14 will be from a slightly different translation of the word, but the same words all the same. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The Word became flesh and blood. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes. The one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son. This morning's theme is God is with you. God is with you. And that theme doesn't actually come, well, it's to do with the reading this morning. But where that idea of God being with you comes from actually comes from a prophecy that was made 700 years before Jesus was born. A prophet named Isaiah, there is a book named after him in the Old Testament. He had some very specific words to say about the birth of Jesus that would come 700 years later. And he said this: God Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. The word Emmanuel, which you may have seen on some Christian schools out there, it's usually the name of a few, it means God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Now you may be thinking that the theme for this morning is actually God is with you. And that is a very intentional choice that we made as a church, because we didn't want the theme for today to be God is with us, as in us in the church, but not out there with you, because that is simply not true. God is with everybody. God is with us here today in the building, and He is out there in the neighborhood. That is why when John wrote his introduction to his book, he said, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Some translations say that He dwelt among us. He lives among us. God moved into the neighborhood at Christmas time. We don't just celebrate the birth of any old baby. We have some wonderful babies here today, and each and every one of them is precious and an immense celebration. But unfortunately, they're not going to get a holiday named after them. They might. Who knows? The potential that they have is incredible, and it'll be wonderful to see what they grow up to do in this world. But the reason we celebrate Christmas is because the birth of Jesus was the birth of God. God coming to earth to live among us, to move into the neighborhood. God is with you. Whether you've heard that told to you before or not, I want to tell it to you again or for the first time today. God is with you. God is with you in your life. He is in your neighborhood. There are a couple of promises that God made in Scripture. One of them is, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That promise is mentioned in the Bible twice. It's mentioned for the first time. Wait. You guys read left to right. Sorry. It's mentioned in the first time at the very start of the Bible, in one of the first books of the Bible, in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, God promises, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That promise remains true all the way through the Bible, and it's mentioned again in Hebrews chapter 13, which is towards the back of the Bible in the New Testament, where that promise is repeated. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. God is with you. Jesus himself, whose birth we celebrate at Christmas time, when he grew up, he said these words at the very end of his ministry. He said, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. God is with you. Hallelujah and amen. Thank you, Greg. God is with you. So in this world today, how is God with us? In what way has God moved into our neighborhood? Well, there are several ways we see God in our lives and in our neighborhood. I think, can you move to the next one? There we go. There are several ways. Firstly, think about us here today. After the service this morning, you would have noticed on your way in, and you'll see again on your way out, the crafts that have been made this morning. We are very creative people in this church. We've got some beautiful things on offer out there. When we are creative, when we make things, when we create, that is God with us, because God is a creator. God created the world that we live in, and his work is pretty magnificent. At least I think it is. God is a creative God. So when we are creative, that is God with us. God is amongst us. God moves with us. After the service, we will also spend a lot of time in community. We'll share morning tea. We'll fight over who gets the best sausage or the most onions of it later. At least I hope there's no fighting. Please don't fight. It's community. We will be in community. When we come together in community, that drive to get us together in community, that is God with us, because God exists as a community. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three people as one. I'm not going to go into all the details of that right here today. That's probably a message for another time. But God is community. So when we are in community, that is God amongst us. God with us. In fact, he says, when two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. From today as well, the money that's raised, we'll be giving that to two very important missions that we as a church partner with. One of those is, of course, Operation Christmas Child. And we saw the generosity of our people a few months ago when we stacked all 88 of those boxes here on the stage and prayed for them before sending them off. And there'll be more generosity giving to help those boxes get where they need to go. The other idea is that we're going to put some money towards Helping Hand to give so much to this local community. So there's going to be some local impact and some global impact from the generosity. But when we are generous, that is God with us, because God is a generous God. God gives new mercies every morning to us. God gives and gives and gives. He gave his son. That's what we celebrate. And perhaps the two most significant ways that we might experience God with us is in injustice. Don't worry, I'll come to that. And forgiveness. When we see injustice in this world, it makes us angry. It makes us upset. We do not like being the victims of injustice, certainly, and we do not like seeing injustices perpetuated against other people. They make us angry. This is a sacred rage. This is God with us, because God is upset and angered by injustice. He does not like seeing it in his world. Therefore, when we are getting angry, that is a sign of God being amongst us, with us, speaking and working amongst us to correct those things that are wrong with the world. And then perhaps the most poignant one, forgiveness. When we forgive, and we prayed it earlier in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. When we forgive, forgiveness is a big, probably the biggest sign of God with us, because God is a forgiving God. God forgives. His entire shtick with humanity, if you will, is forgiveness. The reason he sent Jesus to earth at Christmas time so that he could dwell in our neighborhood is so that ultimately we could be forgiven. To understand forgiveness, we sort of need to go back. I need to stand over here again. We need to go back to the start of the Bible. Because back at the start of the Bible, even earlier than Deuteronomy, four books earlier, so I can't really go through the wall. Sorry, it's been a big weekend. As in getting ready for today. That came out wrong. Way back at the very beginning of the Bible, God made a perfect world. He made a perfect world with perfect people, and it had a perfect system and perfect order. No one was ever meant to get sick. No one was ever meant to die. Nothing was ever meant to go wrong. And then, unfortunately, the first two humans, and Adam and Eve were their names, and literally every human ever since has decided, you know what? I'd actually prefer to live life my way. I'd rather live my life by my rules. And unfortunately, our living by our own rules, humankind's rules, there's a lot of imperfection there. We get hurt, and we hurt other people because of that imperfection and those decisions that we make. In the Bible and in the church, we call these imperfections sin. That is the word that we use for them. And unfortunately, in order for us to exist again in God's perfect world, sin has no place in a perfect world. You cannot have imperfection in a perfect world because it would then ruin the perfection. So that left us in a little bit of a conundrum, bit of a pickle, bit of a situation. How do we get back into the perfect world while being imperfect? Well, God decided that he didn't want to go through each and every little person's, you know, all the times you've hurt someone and the times you've been hurt and everyone and all humanity and try to balance out the ledger and divvy it up. He thought, you know what? I'm going to take care of this once and for all. I'm going to send my son, my one and only son, Jesus, to earth, and he will take on the consequences and the punishment for all of the imperfection, all of the wrongdoing, all of the hurt, and he is going to die on a cross for that once and for all. That is why Christmas is such an important holiday. It is because it's not because of just the birth of Jesus, but the fact of who Jesus grew up to be and what he did for us. He is the reason that we can now claim perfection from God. It is a gift that our generous God freely offers us to make us perfect again. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If we want to be part of God's perfect world again, the world that he is already starting to build and showing us glimpses of as he lives in our neighborhood, there is only one way to do that, and that is through Jesus and accepting his death on the cross. Now, that's the good news, but it gets even better because Jesus didn't stay dead. So if you make it back at Easter time, we were celebrating that with full gusto as well. But Jesus was raised to life again, which is even better news. And the best news is that we don't actually have to wait until the end of this age and for the start of the age to come to start enjoying the blessings of a relationship with God. We can start that now because he is in our neighborhood. He is out there so desperately wanting to get to know you. Wanting you to know him as well as he knows you. I want to close off today with probably some of the most famous words in Scripture. They come from John chapter 3:16. You will likely have heard these before. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whomever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." I come from a children's ministry background, as some of you will know. And one of the ways that we're always taught to teach this verse to children is to get them, and you can do it as an adult too, to take out the world and put your name in there. So it would simply read for me, "For God so loved Paul that he gave his one and only Son, that if Paul believes in him, I won't die but live forever." I like that. You might want to try doing that on your own, substituting your own name, because that is how much God loves you. God did not want to live in his perfect world alone with just himself. He wants us to be in that relationship with him. That is why he did this, because he so loved us. So I'm going to give issue an invitation, as it were, for anyone who's heard what I've had to say this morning, and you might get a deep sense within yourself that what you've just heard is true. That's the Holy Spirit at work. And if you've never accepted Jesus, never accepted that he was the Son of God, that he died on the cross for your sins, and that he raised again so that you could have eternal life, if you would like to accept that and would like to begin a journey of following Jesus, then I am going to invite you to do that today. In each of the pews, there is this little sheet of paper. It says, I have decided to follow Jesus on the top with a little cross. You can cut that bit off or tear that bit off and take it home with you. You might want to write the date on the back and as a memorial. Memorial? Memento. Sorry, as a memento of your time today. And then underneath the bit, it just got a place for you to write your name and some contact details, either a phone or an email, with a request for someone from the church to get in touch with you to follow up about what the next steps would be. I'm not going to ask you to come out the front. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up. The only thing I'm going to actually invite you to do this morning is, of course, fill in the card. And then I'm going to invite you to participate in communion, the Lord's Supper. This is the Lord's Supper. We call it communion. You might have heard it referred to as Eucharist or Mass. In a moment's time, we've got some stewards who will come and they will distribute the communion. That's also the cue for the worship team to move into place for the last songs. That's the cue for the worship team to move into place. So, if this resonates true for you today and you want to declare in your heart that you believe Jesus is the Son of God, that you believe he came to earth as a baby, that he died on the cross for your sins and was raised to life again, and you want to accept all that, that makes you one of us Christians. Lucky you. Welcome to the family, and congratulations on your decision. You don't have to tell me about it. It's between you and God and whomever, and if you want to follow up, you can by all means do. But that means you're invited to participate in the Lord's Supper. We eat a little cracker, which is bread, which symbolizes the body of Christ, and we drink a little cup of grape juice, which symbolizes the blood of Christ. It's a really significant ceremony, and it is specifically for people who have accepted Jesus, Lord and Savior. So don't feel pressured to take it. It's quite significant. Just let it pass you by if you don't want to. That is perfectly fine as well. But if you have made that choice and you want to participate for the first time, then I would strongly invite you to. So I'm going to pray for the communion elements, and then I'll invite the stewards to come forward and distribute those. And just the way we participate here is you can eat the cracker in your own time, and then we hold the cups and we all drink together at the end. So please, if you'd pray with me, and then we'll do that. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift of Christmas, for sending Jesus to die, for sending Jesus to be born, to live among us, to show us your way of living. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to respond and to receive eternal life from you. We pray now for the bread and the cup as it's distributed, that it would have new meaning for each of us, particularly those who are participating for the first time. Lord, may you bless and give them strong and pleasant memories of today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.